Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In 2004, Gene Robinson was elected as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church. 6.5 years later, though, he announced that he will be retiring. Bishop Robinson joins us this morning to talk about his decision and the 6 years since he was elected and took his post as the 9th bishop of the Diocese of New Hampshire in the Episcopal Church. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
As I understand it, I read your announcement carefully about your decision to retire early to a certain extent. And you described the heavy toll that's been put on both yourself and your family, but you also say that it's been difficult for your diocese as well. Could you explain?
You know, the fact of the matter is that when you do something new, there's a price to be paid for that. I would actually say that this period of my episcopate has been far more a blessing than something heavy to bear. But certainly the diocese and I have been the focus of a lot of attention, much of it negative, certainly on me and my family with the death threats that have continued to this day. You know, it does take a toll. But more than any of that, this has been a wonderful time for our diocese. We are growing in contrast to most of the mainline church, and we have opened this diocese to every man, woman, and child regardless, and we're telling them of God's love, and that has great resonance with people.
Well, do you think that when you step down, do you feel like that attention will no longer be on you? I'm certainly not trying to make light of what are serious things like some of the violent threats that you've received, but will that end when you are no longer bishop?
Well, it probably won't end because I don't intend to disappear. I feel a little like Mark Twain, who said that rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated. While I won't be the Bishop of New Hampshire, I will still be a bishop of the Episcopal Church with voice and vote in our House of Bishops. And I have lots of exciting things yet to do with my life and ministry.
Is the difficulty that you describe personally that has been the reaction to your elevation as bishop, does that constitute the identity as something of a martyr in the church to really support a principle? You have taken a personal hit, and that constitutes a certain kind of martyrdom, your early retirement?
Well, martyrdom is not anything I would ever apply to my tenure as bishop. I've been trying to follow my call that God has asked me to do this thing, and I've tried to do it as well as I can, and only others will be able to judge the effectiveness of that. But I think the reality is that God loves all of God's people, and that includes God's gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered children. And we are living at a very exciting time when we are rediscovering God's love for a group of people that have been the Bible has been used to beat up on for so long, and we're getting it right. You know, the church has gotten it wrong before. We used scripture to justify slavery for countless centuries. We've used the scriptures to denigrate and subjugate women. We have admitted that we got that wrong. We're changing that, and we're now changing what we're saying God feels about God's gay and lesbian children.
Well, clearly, your election brought to the head a sort of argument that was clearly coming for a long time in the Episcopal Church. To a certain extent, it broadened the divide, with many of the Episcopal churches deciding to split away from the church itself because of your election. I mean, is that something that, as you step down, will that work? Will that discourage the church from electing yet another one? I mean, you still have Mary Glasspool, but is this whole episode going to discourage them from doing it again?
I think quite the opposite. I think the Episcopal Church has stated in no uncertain terms, and certainly by the election of the second openly gay and partnered bishop, that this is the church we feel God is calling us to be at this time. And I think you're going to see other partnered gay or lesbian people elected bishop, and nationwide you will see the fuller and fuller inclusion of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people in not only the life of our church, but in the leadership of our church.
But what about the churches that that left the Episcopal Church during what they're calling the Anglican realignment? I mean, is there hope of bringing them back into the community?
Well, they would be welcome to come back at any time, and we would welcome them with open arms. But let's also remember that the Episcopal Church is roughly a little over 2 million members, and only 100,000 have left over this issue, and many of them have already come back. And I believe many will, as both the world and the church sees that we have gotten this wrong over the centuries.
But aren't you deliberately narrowing the scope by looking at the United States and the Episcopal Church? I mean, isn't this really about the Anglican Communion? And is your message to the African churches, where congregations are growing much faster than in New Hampshire, hey, folks, you're just wrong. Get lost.
The worldwide question is really one of context. The reason this has happened in the American church at this time is that we have had countless gay and lesbian people who have come out, and they have not given up their faith in doing so. They're saying it's their belief in God that allows them to ask for their rightful place in the life of the church. I believe that we will see this worldwide, but it's not a surprise that our African brothers and sisters, for instance, disagree with us about this, because many of those countries, homosexuality is punishable by imprisonment and, in a few cases, by death. And so you're not going to have faithful Anglicans coming out in those places where it is still so dangerous. As that begins to change, and it will change, we will see the church in Africa coming to terms with this as well.
I mean, this the Episcopal Church and your place as bishop in the Diocese of New Hampshire is clearly, I mean, the church is obviously something that you love dearly. Your position there has been something that you talked about when you first took the position as something which was an opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm wondering, is there some pain associated now with the prospect of stepping down?
Oh, I have to tell you, I'm grieving over this. And as I go through my days now, and let's remember that my retirement is still 2 years off. But
right.
Even so, I go through the day and I'm doing something and I think, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss this so much. But at the same time, I feel like God is calling me to different forms of ministry. I'm not going to disappear, and the two things that I'm most looking forward to is having more time for evangelism with the unchurched or what I would call the de-churched, those people who have been so poorly treated by the church that they have left. And you know, I get to speak to more unchurched people than probably any other bishop in the Episcopal Church. And I get to make the case for God and for the church and to say, you know, we're changing. We got this wrong, but we're getting it right, and we're getting it righter all the time. And come back, because the church you left may not be the church that's there now.
And, Bishop Gene Robinson will have more time to do that as of 2013 when he retires from his position as the ninth bishop of the Diocese of New Hampshire in the Episcopal Church. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's
wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. It's a great takeaway. The unchurched and the de-churched. That will be his mission, speaking with them. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.